Hi, everyone. Welcome to the West Wellness and Longevity Podcast. My name is Tara West, and I am a functional nutritionist, passionate about how we can use food as medicine and truly heal our bodies. I'm also obsessed with longevity with a love for peptides, fitness, and all the latest and greatest biohacking resources. I spend hours upon hours looking at the latest research and implementing them into my own life and in my practice with my clients. I look forward to sharing all of this wonderful information with you. Hey guys, quick reminder, this podcast is for information purposes only and not meant to treat or diagnose. So please consult with your personal health practitioner prior to implementing anything that you hear about on this show. Now on to the next episode. All right, welcome back everyone to the West Wellness and Longevity Podcast. I'm so glad that you are listening today, and I'm just going to dive into today's topic. And as I'm constantly thinking about what to talk about, and when this particular episode came to mind, it's because I remember my own confusion and frustration around growth hormone secretagogue peptides, because there's several of them out there and they're pretty popular, and I really wasn't sure which one to use or why they're different or what to watch out for. So I'm not going to talk about every single growth hormone secretagogue that's out there. That would be a super long episode, but I am going to talk about the ones that you hear the most about and that you've likely seen if you're into this research peptide world. And so we're going to unpack what each of them do, how they compare and contrast, why blends like CJC1295 and ipamorelin, or even ipamorelin with tesamorelin, can really work synergistically together. I'm also going to explain some differences between CJC1295 with DAC versus without DAC, and why that's important to understand and why it might change your decision-making when you are trying to decide if you want to start one of these. We're going to talk about the benefits, potential side effects, all the things. But before I get started, I wanted to go over some key terms so people know what I'm talking about. And these might seem very elementary to a lot of you, but I thought it would, for the people that are just getting started in this world, this would be very helpful so you can understand what these certain things mean instead of just going through the whole episode and you being lost. Let's talk about what half-life means, because this is going to come up a lot in this conversation. And half-life is just a fancy way of saying how long does it take for half of a drug or peptide to be broken down and cleared through your body. And think of it this way. If you pour yourself a cup of hot coffee, the half-life would be how long it takes before it cools down halfway. Or picture a melting ice cube. If it takes an hour for half the cube to melt, that's its half-life. And this matters a lot because peptides don't all stick around the same amount of time. So some are like an espresso shot. You get this really quick burst, but it's gone fast. Others are like a slow cooker. They keep simmering in the background for hours or even days. So depending on whether you want a short, controllable effect or a longer, convenient one, half-life is one of the biggest deciding factors which of these growth hormone secretagogues that you end up choosing, okay? Let's also talk about what GHRH stands for. That is growth hormone releasing hormone. Kind of a mouthful, which is why we're going to refer to it as GHRH. It's a natural hormone made in the hypothalamus, which is the control center of our brains. And its job is to travel a short distance to the pituitary gland and basically knock on the door saying, hey, it's time to release some growth hormone. So whenever you hear me say that something is a GHRH analog, like CJC1295, cimarelin, or tesamorelin, it just means it's a lab-made version of this natural hormone. These analogs mimic GHRH's actions, and it stimulates your pituitary to release growth hormone in a way that flows with your body's natural rhythm. And that's the really beautiful thing about these growth hormone secretagogues, because they do work with our body's natural rhythm if used correctly, as opposed to introducing exogenous growth hormone directly into our bodies. And that's a discussion for a different day, so I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole, but just keep that in the back of your mind. Okay, the next term is IGF-1. IGF-1 stands for insulin-like growth factor 1. And here's what that means in plain English. When your pituitary gland releases growth hormone, one of the biggest jobs that growth hormone does is to travel to your liver. And once it gets there, it signals your liver to make IGF-1. So think of the growth hormone as the messenger and the IGF-1 as the worker. Growth hormone's like the boss saying, hey, it's time to grow and repair. IGF-1 is the employee that actually goes out and builds the muscle, repairs the tissue, supports bone growth, and even helps skin and hair health. That's why IGF-1 is such an important marker, and we can actually measure this in blood work if you wanted to do that, to see if a peptide is working, because it reflects how much growth hormone activity is happening downstream. I've never done this, but you could have your IGF-1 tested prior to starting one of these and then during the protocol or right as you're finishing up and see what that marker looks like. And too little IGF-1, which happens as we age, you may see loss of muscle, more fat gain, poor recovery, low energy, all these things we experience as we age. So fun, right? But too much IGF-1, that's like too much fertilizer in the garden. It can cause water retention, joint issues, insulin resistance. And over time, there could be some possible concerns that it may drive unwanted cell growth. So IGF-1 is actually what carries out the benefits of growth hormone, which is why it is such a key marker and why it's going to become a very important topic in this conversation. So now that we have all of our terms and definitions out of the way, I feel like I'm in an English class in middle school or high school. Let's start breaking down what these individual peptides are and how they work. And I want to start with Ipamorelin. Okay, Ipamorelin is what's called a ghrelin mimetic. And ghrelin is the hormone that's nicknamed as the hunger hormone. It's what makes us hungry. But it also has a big role in stimulating growth hormone release. So Ipamorelin binds to the ghrelin receptor in your brain and pituitary and tells your body, hey, release some more growth hormone now. Here's the cool part. Some of these older ghrelin mimetics, like the GHRP6 and the GHRP2, also spiked cortisol and prolactin, two hormones you don't necessarily want to elevate all the time or ever, because cortisol can make you stress, hold on to fat, break down muscle, and prolactin can affect mood, energy, and sex drive. So Ipamorelin is this beautiful peptide that avoids all that. It gives you that great hormone boost without all the messy side effects. The half-life, we talked about this earlier, is about 2 hours. So this one is more like a cappuccino. It gives you a nice, smooth effect for a couple of hours, and then it starts to taper off. And you get better recovery, you get improved lean muscle, joint and tendon repair, deep sleep, and some fat burning support. Side effects are usually somewhat mild. Some people report getting headache, flushing, or a little irritation at the injection site. It does not directly increase your appetite. So that is one of the great things about Ipamorelin, because it is one of the few that goes down the growth hormone ghrelin pathway. And so it's going to hit the growth hormone in your system differently than some of these others. And when we talk about combining some of these, that will help you remember this, because that's going to help you understand why they can synergistically work together. Okay, let's talk about CJC1295 with DAC. Consider this kind of the slow cooker. This one is one of those growth hormone releasing hormone analogs, so the GHRH analogs, meaning it mimics your body's natural growth hormone releasing hormone. The DAC part stands for drug affinity complex. Basically, it allows the CJC1295 to latch on to albumin. This is one of the proteins we have floating around in our bloodstream. And that binding protects it from being broken down quickly, and it stretches out its half-life dramatically. So the half-life with the CJC1295 with DAC can be 6 to 8 days. That means one shot can keep growth hormone like IGF-1 elevated for over a week. So this is, like I said, your slow cooker peptide. It just keeps working in the background without you thinking about it. One of the key benefits people like from it is the convenience. It's only 1 or 2 injections a week, where a lot of these other ones are every day or 5 days on, 2 days off protocols. And it raises the IGF-1 steadily, which supports muscle growth, fat metabolism, better skin and hair quality, and faster recovery. And it also improves sleep in some people. A lot of people report having much better sleep on these peptides. The negative is that it sticks around for so long. And if you do get some side effects, which isn't super common if you're dosing these correctly, you're stuck working through it until it does get out of your system. And you have to be really careful because too much IGF-1 for too long could pose risk if it's not monitored. And here's what I mean by this. Because IGF-1 is amazing in the right range. It supports all the things we talked about, that muscle growth, bone density, skin health, all the things. But too much for too long can start to pose risk. So you have to watch all these things with all of the ones we're going to talk about today. But obviously, the longer it's staying in your system over long periods of time, depending on the dosing, this could really impact you in a negative way, which is why it's really important to cycle these things. And you've heard me say this before, and we're going to talk more about why we cycle these things in more depth a little bit later. If you do get the IGF-1 too high, then you are looking at side effects like joint and tissue issues. You can get water retention, swelling, carpal tunnel-like symptoms. My husband actually experienced this once when he was taking one of these, and so I immediately pulled him off of it. Metabolic concerns, it can worsen blood sugar control in some people, especially with testosterone. We've seen more of that, which we'll talk about in a minute. And cell growth risk, it can stimulate cell division, and these chronically elevated IGF-1s could accelerate the growth of abnormal cells like cancer cells. So we want to be careful of that too. Let me be clear. This does not cause cancer. If you have cancer, it can cause it to grow faster, okay? And we all have cancer cells floating around in our systems, but our immune system fights them off when in a healthy individual. And so cancer starts to become a problem when our immune system can't fight them off anymore. And so if you're one of those people, and then the cells start dividing more rapidly, it could put you at risk. Again, if you're monitoring these things and you're doing this in the right way, at the right dosing, and you're taking the breaks, this should not be something that you're concerned about. But if you are concerned about it, please consult with your healthcare professional. I do not know your health history. Just want to throw that out there. That is one of the things that often comes up in the conversation around these, okay? Beautiful thing about CJC with DAC2, it does not increase appetite, which is really important when you're on these growth hormones or cretagogues. You don't want to have that increased appetite unless you're really trying to build a lot of mass, which like some bodybuilders, some athletes, there would be reasons why they want to do that. But for most of us out there, that's not something we want. Let's talk about CJC 1295 without DAC. So scientists modified 4 amino acids to keep it from being destroyed instantly, but it still clears really quickly. So the half-life is about 30 minutes. This is like your espresso shot, right? It's quick, precise, gone fast. Benefits is because it's short-acting, you can control when you get that growth hormone pulse. So a lot of people take it before bed to mimic the natural nighttime surge or after a workout to boost recovery. It also stacks really well with ipamorelin, which we'll talk about more. Side effects, very mild, short-lived, like flushing or irritation at the site. Let me say this. I've never taken this CJC with the DAC, so it keeps in your system longer. There's a lot of reasons that I personally don't want to do that. There's a reason why a lot of people would want to do that. That's just my personal thing. I have taken the CJC without DAC. And if you've listened to any of my episodes, you've heard me mention this before. This particular one, for whatever reason, can cause a histamine response in some people. And particularly if you're using it for a longer cycle. And that happened to me. And the CJC 1295 makes me break out in hives. And I just pop a Benadryl and it goes away super fast. It's not life-threatening or anything like that. But if you are one of these people that experiences this on, if you're taking a blend and you're not sure which one it is, and 99% of the time it's going to be the CJC 1295, you just need to not take that anymore and just take the ipamorelin on its own, which is what I do when I go through these now. I just take ipamorelin on its own and I have zero problem. So if you're one of the rare people that experiences that, that's what it is. It's not uncommon to get an itchy bump at the injection site. This is more systemic. This is where you get like hives types, itchy hives throughout. This is not just at the injection site. If you're just getting it at the injection site, I encourage people to get, you can get like the Benadryl gel and kind of rub that on that area and that will make that go away. But this is more when you get the hives all over. It's not for you. Don't take it. Again, very uncommon. I'm just one of the lucky few. All right. Let's see. I have my notes here and I got a little off track. So the person that would want to take this would be someone who wants that precise timing around training and recovery. when I was originally looking into this stuff years ago, when I was first getting into peptides, I was like, oh, if it lasts longer, that's better. And that's not really the case. It depends on what your goals are. But our natural pulses of growth hormone are not consistently throughout the day. They usually happen late at night. You get your biggest growth hormone pulses right before you go to bed, or as you're going to bed in that deep sleep phase, which is why a lot of people say they sleep better with these. Are you curious about peptides, but totally lost on where to start? You're not alone, and I've been there myself. And that's why I created my free peptide guide to help you cut through the confusion and understand what each peptide does and how their specific protocols work. And if you want to go deeper, I open up just a few spots each month for one-on-one peptide consultations where we create a completely personalized protocol just for you. You can grab the free guide and find all the details on how to book a consultation in the show notes of this episode. So whether you're brand new to peptides or ready to take your peptide game to the next level, this is your starting point. Now back to the episode. And you get usually a release of it in the mornings. And so we're not pulsing it throughout the day. I personally am a big believer that we should utilize peptides in a way that our body naturally would use them in order for them to work the best and not overstimulate our systems. That is my personal opinion on this, but obviously everyone has different schools of thought of this. I'm just throwing that out there for what that's worth. Let's talk about tesamorelin. Tesamorelin is another GHRH analog, growth hormone releasing hormone analog. But it's unique because this one happens to be FDA approved. And I don't know how much in this space that any of us care if something's FDA approved, but some of us do because people in the research peptide world normally don't really pay attention to those things. But because it is approved, we have a lot more information on it. Its label use in the pharmaceutical world was for HIV and AIDS related visceral adiposities, so that visceral fat. Because in the 80s, when there was the big AIDS and HIV epidemic, researchers came up with this with tesamorelin because that was a huge issue with these patients, is they were gaining all this dangerous visceral fat around their liver area and all the places that we want to not have fat to stay really healthy. And they found that this peptide really helped with that. The half-life is only about 30 minutes, but because this was used for such long periods of time with these patients, the IGF-1 stayed elevated for much longer. And we'll talk about why that's important in a minute. The clinical trials showed that it reduced that visceral fat about 15 to 20% over 6 months. It may also reduce liver fat and improve some metabolic markers, making it interesting for conditions like fatty liver disease, which we have epidemic of right now. Non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is rampant right now. And patients often report feeling leaner and more energized when they're on this. But the side effects were this injection site reactions, which I talked about, this joint pain, swelling carpal tunnel-like symptoms, sometimes blood sugar changes or new onset diabetes. I would say that's really more common in some of the more unhealthy patients that took this. And again, we have more documentation on this one because it is FDA approved. But people weren't cycling this stuff like we do in this research peptide world. And they were staying on them for months and months, sometimes years at a time. And that's where we really saw some of these problems arise. And they were taking them at higher doses, okay? Appetite, it works through the GHRH, not the ghrelin, so it does not have significant appetite increases. People often notice when taking this better body composition without the hunger swing. So that's a good thing. Who would take this? If you're someone that, particularly in the midsection, you're having trouble losing weight, but you're healthy and you're active and you're otherwise optimized, this might be a really good one for you to cycle through because it really does work specifically on that midsection. So just keep that in mind. Let's move on to simarelin. And I get a lot of questions about this one because, again, it is an FDA-approved one, has a long history, but its half-life is 6 to 12 minutes, so it's more like taking a sip of espresso, and it's in and out super fast. It does produce a quick natural growth hormone pulse, but the effects of it are pretty modest. Side effects are the same: mild headache, flushing, irritation at the injection site. All goes away really quickly. It does not trigger appetite, but like clinics and doctors really pushing this right now. It's legally and easier to prescribe. That's why, because they really can't touch some of these other ones. The tesamorelin, even though FDA approved, would be considered off-label, and a lot of doctors don't want to do that. I think most don't. I've never asked a doctor to do that, but from people I've spoken to, it's almost impossible to get that to happen. The Ipamorelin and CJC, they really can't touch. And so this Cimarelin comes into play, but it's just not as effective as some of these other ones that we've talked about today. And its very short half-life means its IGF-1 doesn't stay elevated very long at all. So its clinical impact is weak compared to some of the other ones that we've talked about. But it's why you're seeing it pushed so much. So I often get people come to me and say, I found this online doctor or whatever that will give me Cimarelin with a prescription and all the things. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't try it. If that's your comfort zone and you want to try it, then you absolutely should go that route and see if you get results. So let me be clear. I've never tried it. So I can't firsthand say this was my experience with it. But I know a lot of people who have and then gone on to try some of these other ones, and they said that there was no comparison. So do your own research, but also I would keep that in mind. Okay, let's talk about some of the blends of these. The most popular one, I would say, is the Ipamorelin with the CJC 1295. And when you have this blend, you're gonna see the CJC 1295 without the DAC. And the reason why is that it only lasts about 30 minutes. That's short, but when you pair it with Ipamorelin, you get a controlled burst of the growth hormone release. So when people stack Ipamorelin with CJC without the DAC, they're trying to mimic the body's natural growth hormone pulses, especially the big surge that happens at night and deep sleep. So the CJC without DAC is opening the gate so the growth hormone can be released, and then the Ipamorelin comes in, presses the gas pedal, so the growth hormone actually is released. And together you just get a strong, natural-like growth hormone pulse without flattening your rhythm. That's why that one is so popular and why it's very effective, because it is going down two different growth hormone pathways in order to mimic that very natural pulse that our body already does, but declines as we get older. And like I like to say, peptides make our body respond the way it did when it was younger, and that's exactly what this blend does. Some people also like to use a tesamorelin and Ipamorelin blend versus the CJC. The CJC 1295 and the tesamorelin are both GHRH analogs. So in theory, they do the same thing. They open the gate, and then the ghrelin analog, which is the presses the gas pedal. But there are some differences. Like I mentioned earlier, the tesamorelin has tons of backed research that it really does help with that midsection visceral fat. So again, people that are really focusing on that area, this might be a better blend for you in particular. But if you're looking for overall systemic, good recovery, good sleep, lean muscle mass, and just overall longevity with this type of peptide blend, then I would do the Ipamorelin and the CJC 1295. Let's talk about why you cycle these things, because I get this question all the time. You've heard me say this a million times too. I'm a go big or go home kind of girl, but more isn't always better, especially with these particular peptides. Our bodies operate on rhythms, feedback loops, receptor sensitivity. And if you use these peptides continuously without breaks, several things can happen. You can get receptor desensitization, and the receptors that respond to growth hormone releasing signals can become less responsive over time. And that means you're going to get a diminishing return from the same dose. So cycling helps reset that sensitivity. So when you come back to the peptide, you experience those full benefits again. The IGF-1 regulation is very important. These peptides work in part by raising growth hormone, which increases the IGF-1. And if IGF-1, like we already mentioned, stays too high for too long, you can get those unwanted side effects. So cycling prevents the IGF-1 from remaining elevated for longer periods of time. So you want to shorten that time frame that you're keeping that elevated. And again, cycling then mimics our natural pulses. Growth hormone in the body is naturally secreted in pulses, especially at night during deep sleep. So cycling peptides respects that biology rather than forcing a constant artificial signal. This makes the therapy feel more like an assist than an override. I think you start to see side effects personally when you go past that. But it's getting your body into more of that rhythm of releasing more at night. So it's not going to just magically disappear the second you quit taking it. You will start to see that diminish over time, but then you've cycled off of it and you can cycle back on it, okay? And just safety and longevity. Peptides are tools to optimize our health and recovery, not push the system to its max all the time. So building the on-off cycles allows you to sustain the long-term benefits without overstimulating those pathways because you want those to remain flexible. So I always say to think about cycling peptides about how we think about our workouts. We push really hard and then we rest. And that's how you make progress without burning out. If you're just constantly pushing these things, your body is going to burn out. These receptors will burn out and then you will miss the results and all the great benefits that these peptides can help you accomplish. So let me talk a little bit about my own experience. I already mentioned earlier that I break out in the hives with the CJC 1295. That did not start immediately when I first started taking this. I stayed on, in my opinion, too long of a cycle. I've been doing it for about 10 weeks and I pushed to that 12 to 14 weeks and that's when I started having problems. And now every time I've tried to reintroduce it, I have that same response. You want to make sure that you really are cycling these things. I also mentioned earlier about how my husband got that joint pain and stuff like that. We're probably dosing him a little too high on the tesamorelin at that time. I know a lot more about it now. So it is not more is better. So know that. And when he started experiencing those, this is before I was as well versed in all the things I am now, but I did some more research on it and learned that when you do these higher doses, this is what can happen. And so I got him off of that. He's since cycled these things and done beautifully on the right dosing. So be very careful about that. Okay. The other thing I will say is, for whatever reason, and this is totally anecdotal, this is just my experience in working with people and my own experience personally, because I've done all of these but the semirelin, is the tesamorelin, I think, seems to be a lot more impactful for males. Maybe because in general, as we get older, not always, but men can struggle with that midsection even more than us ladies. Not that we don't struggle with it, because we definitely do. But I think men in general get that visceral fat a little at a higher rate. That's been my experience than the females do. And so I've really seen this lean out men better. I personally think ipamorelin is the best one for the ladies. And that has been my personal experience. Even on the lower doses, I found that I retained more water and stuff on the tesamorelin. You might get a little bit of that on the other ones and know that's normal. When we build muscle, our muscles are retaining water. So you are going to do some of that. And these peptides are normally taken to help build muscle. I also did experience a little bit more hunger on the ipamorelin. Not a ton, not where it impacted my weight or anything like that. And it wasn't like this crazy, like I was starving and wanted to eat everything in sight. I just noticed a little bit hungrier than normal. That might be where you add something in like cabralentite protein, but it can help with that while you're taking one of these. So just a thought. So these things really do work. And I will say, I the first time I cycled these, I did a DEXA scan before and after, and I was really shocked. I could tell that my body composition had changed and I knew that I had gained some weight. But when I got the second DEXA scan back, it showed that I had lost about 3 to 4% body fat and gained about 4 to 5 pounds of muscle. So I weighed more, but I was leaner and had more of that lean muscle mass that we all really strive to hold on to and to build as we get older. And it just becomes more and more difficult. And so this stuff does work. You have to make sure that you're dosing it right. You have to make sure that you're getting tons of protein and you're eating clean, and you have to make sure you're in the gym. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. But it really can get you to that next level if you're willing and able to do all those things. And so, again, it's just very unique to the individual. And so I can't stress enough how important it is to do your own research and look into these things, but also to please cycle these. They can cause a lot of problems if you start taking them indefinitely. And I know a lot of people that have done that. So just remember that and keep that in mind. And I think that wraps up our topic for today. Before I let you go, and I've been mentioning this a lot lately, I want to remind all you ladies listeners out there, go to the show notes, and I put a link in there for the school platform. That's S-K-O-O-L. And that is a place that I have created for us to go as women and talk about our experiences with peptides, our questions about peptides. We go into a lot of hormone things that are coming up because that's just the stage of life that we're in. We even had a post about put your healthy recipes here. So it's just really, it starts with peptides, but then it goes into the holistic view of perimenopause and menopause. And even though those of us who aren't there yet, there's a lot of really great information out there. It's collaborative. We're all sharing our own experiences. I've truly gotten to a place where I just love this group and I learned so much from the collaborative effort that's put out there. You also get special discounts from the Peptique, and you can find the things that we talked about today, all the peptides minus Semirelin, either Ipamirelin, Tesmirelin, CJC1295 are all on the Peptique website. And I will put a discount code in the show notes as well. And let's see what else. I did not go into dosing protocols here, okay? That was on purpose. But if you do have questions and you want to get started on the Ipamirelin, the Tesmirelin, or the blend or whatever, just send me a message. My email's in the show notes. Reach out to me. I can send you some basic protocols if you're interested in that. I'm always going to tell you I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse practitioner. You need to go speak with your own healthcare provider out there. This is information I've put together that is readily found on the internet if you want to find it yourself and through my own personal experience with these things. But I'm not recommending anything. I'm just giving you educational tools if you want them. All right. And last but not least, if you like this podcast, please go share it with your friends. That helps me to be able to continue to do all these things that I love to do and share all this information with you. So like it, share it with your friends. Go follow me on Instagram and TikTok at WestWellnessATX. Go visit the Peptique and don't forget your discount code. Again, all of that information is in the show notes. And that's all I've got today, folks. So like I always say, until next time, have a blessed day.